Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Front Range. How are you guys doing this morning? You guys doing good? Awesome. Hey, my name is Brandon Yates. I'm the student pastor here, and we're just so excited to be with you guys this morning. Those of you joining us online, we're super stoked to have you guys here with us as well. And just like Pastor Jeff said, we are continuing a series called Joseph, where we are looking at the life and his life and his story and what we can actually do when life goes wrong in our story. Week one, Pastor Ernest actually talked about how God invites us into his bigger story. And then in week two, we talked about how abandonment by man doesn't mean abandonment by God. And then last week, we had an amazing message with Christine Kane. It was super powerful. If you missed any of those messages, you can go to frontrange.info and check those out. I would highly recommend it. You will not be disappointed. Now, how many of you guys have ever had an opportunity to get what you wanted, but you knew getting what you wanted would actually cost you something? Anybody ever been in that boat before? I remember when I was 8 years old, my mom and I, we were at the grocery store doing our grocery shopping, just like we did every single week. And just like every other time before, I would always ask her, hey, can I go look at the toys? Anybody else ever do that before? Like, I just wanted to go to the toy aisle. There weren't a lot of toys, but they always had something that I wanted. And at this time in my life, what I wanted was Star Wars stuff, okay? And in particular, at this store, they had a Darth Vader action figure with a lightsaber. And every single week, I would go and I would look at it, and I'd stare at it, and I'd grab it off, and I'd run to my mom, and I'd say, Mom, can I get this? Can I get this? And she'd say, no! And I'd have to go put it back every single week. And then this particular trip, I grabbed it, and I said, today's the day. I'm gonna get this toy. And I ran to my mom and I said, Mom, can I have the toy? And she said, no. Dang it. So I started walking away, and in my head, I said, I'm gonna do whatever it takes to get this toy. And I remember I found this aisle that nobody was in, and I went where I thought nobody would see what I was doing or where I was, and I ripped open that package. And I pulled out the Darth Vader, and I pulled out his lightsaber. I think I was wearing overalls, and I shoved them in my overall pockets. That's a good thing about overalls. You have pockets everywhere to hide stuff. And I remember I had the toy in my pocket, and I threw the package on the ground, and I started to walk down the aisle. And as soon as I turned the corner from across the store, it seemed, the manager locked eyes with me. And I only now know he was the manager, but he locked eyes with me. And he started walking my way, and it seemed like every step he took, the ground just shook, as well as my whole world. And he got up to me, and he grabbed me by the arm, and he said, young boy, I know what you've done. Give me the toy. And so I pulled it out of my overall pockets, and I put it in his hand. He said, now we're going to go find your mom and tell her what you've done. And so he took me to my mom. And he explained to her what I did, and my mom took me home, and she gave me the punishment that every young kid hates the most. And you know it's not a spanking. That's easy. They gave me the "we're disappointed in you" talk, right? That just like crushes everything inside of you. And then she made me write an apology letter to the manager, and she made me take it to him the next day and give it to him and apologize for my actions. I mean, even right now, I can feel the embarrassment that I had, right? Like even in this moment, thinking back on it, if I could go back and change everything about that day, I would, but I can't. And I'm wondering, have you ever been there? Have you ever felt that tension? Have you ever felt that pain? See, have you ever noticed that when we're at our weakest, that we're at our most vulnerable, temptation tends to scream the loudest, tends to get our attention a little bit easier. Now you might be saying, what does this have to do with Joseph? And if you have your Bibles, you can open them up and turn to the book of Genesis chapter 39. If you don't have a Bible, you can download the Bible app. It's totally free. It's a great resource, not just to follow along, but also to study the Bible on your own time. But we're in this, the part of the story of Joseph. And I just want you to imagine real quick being Joseph, okay? Just imagine being Joseph. You're your dad's favorite. And all you first kids, you know you're the favorite. Like, that's my sister was the favorite. You're your dad's favorite. Joseph wasn't the first, but he was the favorite. You have this amazing dream, and you share it with your entire family because of how awesome this dream is. And then your brothers, who already hate you, begin to hate you a little bit more. And even to the point that because of your dream and because of who you are, they throw you in a pit, and then they sell you into slavery. And now you're a slave, and then you're bought by this high-ranking official, a super wealthy guy, and he probably has thousands of slaves at this time, and you're probably just going to get thrown into the mix. You're going to get forgotten. You're going to get lost. And then you actually find favor with God, and you wind up somehow being ruler of his entire estate. Now, how does this happen? In verse 2 of chapter 39, it says that the Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, and he was in the house of the Egyptian master. Now, this phrase, the Lord was with Joseph, is a common thread throughout his entire story. See, Potiphar saw that Joseph had favor with God, so Joseph actually got favor with Potiphar. He ended up being in charge of his entire estate, everything. And we're told that the Lord actually blessed Potiphar's house for Joseph's sake. Seems like things are kind of turning around a little bit for Joseph. And we can pick this up in Genesis 39, verse 6. Let's continue. It says, so he left all he had in Joseph's charge. And because of him, he had no concern about anything but the food that he ate. Now Joseph was a handsome in form and appearance. Now let's stop here for a second. Joseph is in charge of everything in Potiphar's house, pretty much except like the things that he wanted to be in charge of, like his food, his daily things. And then it continues to say, this next part, it's very important. I want you to hold on to this, is that Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. Now, I know how many of you guys, like me, are visual learners. Anybody visual learners? Okay, I'm gonna help, hold on a second. I'm gonna help you. I'm gonna paint a picture for you guys, okay? So it says that Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. It kind of looked like this. Do you have a good view? Online, you guys have a good view of this? On the courtyard, you guys? Now I could just, should I just preach the whole message like this, like the rest of it? No, that's really weird, that's awkward. We're gonna put that away. I thought that would help. I thought that would help kind of paint the picture of where Joseph is at. Let's continue. Try not to think about that the rest of the time. Verse 7, it says, and after a time, his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, lie with me. Master's wife said, lie with me. Now, let's just say she's not looking for a napping partner. Like, she's not looking to just to cuddle. She's looking for something a little bit more. Her eyes are cast on Joseph. He's handsome. He's successful, which leads Potiphar's wife to actually lust over Joseph, cast her eyes on Joseph. And for some of us, our circumstances have actually led to a lot of open doors that have actually led us into the face of temptation, just like Joseph in this moment. Verse 8, it says, but he refused and said to his master's wife, behold, because of me, my master has no concern about anything in his house, and he has put everything that he has in my charge. He is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept anything back from me except for you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And as she spoke to Joseph day after day, he would not listen to her, to lie beside her or to be with her. It says, day after day she came at him. Have you ever felt the tug of temptation day after day? Like, it just won't shut up. It won't stop, and it shows up at the most random times. It just shows up crazily. It's like when I went to the store as a kid and saw that toy. Day after day, it was calling to me to the point where I just had to do whatever it took to get it. And I think it's because of that story that I actually hate Star Wars now. Don't judge me. I was traumatized because of that. But what we have to understand is that temptation is not a part-time experience for us. Temptation isn't part-time, day after day. And here's the thing, just because we resist temptation today doesn't mean that that temptation isn't going to come at us tomorrow, possibly even stronger, possibly even more powerful. It's going to come after us. And let's just say this, let's just get this out there. We're sinners, every single one of us. Just like Jeff said at the beginning, we're all sinners. The Bible actually says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Each and every one of us, including myself, is capable of falling into or even jumping into sin and into temptation. Into a place that we never thought. So the weird thing is that we're kind of all in this together. We're all in this idea of temptation and sin together. Let's continue in verse 11. It says, but one day, When he went into the house to do his work and none of the men of the house was in the house, she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and got out of the house. But he left his garment in her hand and fled. So, like, if you think about it, was Joseph naked? Like, was he like a two-year-old baby, like fresh out the tub, like running out that house? Like, just me. I just ask those questions. Like, I see it and I'm like, that's kind of weird. But here's what I don't want us to miss is something pretty incredible is that in this moment, even when temptation is screaming the loudest in Joseph's face, he's willing to do whatever it takes to keep intact his purity and his integrity. He's willing to do whatever it takes. He didn't just flee the room, but it said that he fled the house, the very house that now he is in charge of. He fled the house. He resisted temptation at all cost. How was he able to do that? We'll get there in just a moment, but let's continue reading in verse 13. It says, And as soon as she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and had fled out of the house, she called to the men of her household and said to them, "See, he has brought among us a Hebrew to laugh at us." See, right here real quick, what she's actually doing is she is using his race to dehumanize him and to validate her story where she is at. It says, "And he came into me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And as soon as he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, he left his garment beside me and fled and got out of the house. Then she laid up his garment beside her and waited until his master came home." Can you imagine this? Like, can't this guy catch a break? Can't something go right for him? He's doing all of the right things, yet he finds himself in a mess that he didn't create, nor can he control. So when we look at the life and this part of the story of Joseph, how does it apply to us? There's a lot in this story, and you may be thinking, great, this is just a message about sexual purity, and you're not wrong, but the things that we're going to talk about today can actually be applied to every single day life because each and every one of us on a daily basis encounters temptation, and sex is just one of them. It's just a part of it. It's just a part of it. See, we can be sexually pure and emotionally defiled. We can be sexually pure and consumed with addiction. We can be sexually pure and overcome with greed in our lives. We have to understand that we are not defined by the temptations that actually come to us, but by the truth that we embrace. What we embrace and let take root in our life, the truth of God, who he says we are, or will we allow sin and temptation to overwhelm us and take root inside of us? Because whatever we allow to take root inside of us, soon one day will actually consume the world around us. Temptation doesn't look the exact same one from one person to the next, but our preparation to engage in it can. So the question is, how do I stay pure? How do I have a pure heart? How do I fight and resist temptation? And the first thing is that we need self-awareness. We need self-awareness. Now, this is what self-awareness is. It's the ability to see yourself clearly and objectively through reflection and self-examination. It's seeing yourself as who God created you to be, or as God says you are. See, self-awareness is not labeling yourself by what you struggle with. It's not labeling yourself by the sin in your life. True self-awareness is who God says I am. See, we do have to be able to name the temptations that we deal with, the things that stir us up inside. We do need to be able to name them, and we need to be able to identify them, because if we don't, it becomes a lot easier for us to actually fall into those temptations. Many of us, we have temptations, but they don't necessarily come at us as strong as Potiphar's wife came at Joseph, right? But that doesn't mean that the response that Joseph had is any different than the response that we should have. See, Joseph's response to Potiphar's wife was based in who he was, in who he was faithful to, in who he was serving. It wasn't based in anything but that. See, he knows that in this position, because of his favor that God has on his life, because of his faithfulness and his integrity, that he's now in the place of power and in a position where he could actually sleep with her and cover it up and hide it and get away with it. And many of us are in the very similar position where we can do something we know we're not supposed to do, but we can cover it up. and we can hide it. But here, Joseph chooses to live with integrity instead because he knows what's at stake. He knows what's at stake. He knows what he's willing to risk. If he goes into this temptation, if he gives it a place to live, if he gives it a place to breathe, he knows what can happen. See, how much more self-aware can we get than when we realize that our decision to give in to temptation not only affects ourselves, but the greater story that God is writing through us. Let's say that again. How much more self-aware can we be than when we realize that when we give into temptation, that when we give ourselves over to temptation, it not only impacts ourselves, but it impacts everything. It impacts the story that God wants to write through you. See, when temptation comes your way, we got to slow down. We've got to ask ourselves a couple questions. How is this going to feel when I'm done? How is this going to look in a week when temptation comes our way and we're fighting that battle of giving into temptation? Ask yourself, how is this going to affect my loved ones when they find out? What's at stake? See, Joseph understood that his role in God's bigger story wasn't risk falling into this temptation. And so he did whatever it took to get out. He wanted to be who God created him to be. And at the end of the day, isn't that what integrity is? Being who God created us to be all the time. Isn't that what we're created to be? Isn't that who we're supposed to be? And Joseph knew that in this moment, sleeping with his master's wife wasn't just a sin against his master, but it was a sin against God. He wasn't willing to compromise his integrity. He wasn't willing to compromise the greater story that God was actually writing through him. He was choosing to live with integrity. See, how do we keep integrity when we're faced with a temptation that seems overwhelming? Or even when we have a temptation that may not be overwhelming, but it's easy for us to fall into because we know that we can cover it up. We have to know who God created us to be so that we can actually be who he created us to be. Self-awareness is knowing who you are. See, my wife and I, we have three kids. We have Jude, he's 8. Charlotte, she just turned 6. And Olivia, who is 2. And I remember when Jude was born, when he was first born, freshly hatched, I was holding him, and he was all gooey. And I looked at him, and I said, "Jude, who are you?" And the little brat didn't respond. He just ignored me. I'm kidding. I said, "Jude, who are you?" I said, "You're a mighty man of God." And when Charlotte was born, freshly hatched, I held her in my arms, and I said, "Charlotte, who are you? You're a mighty, spicy woman of God." I said, "You're a mighty woman of God." And I did the same thing with Olivia. "Olivia, who are you?" "You're a mighty woman of God." And that question is asked every single day, multiple times a day, to my kids, by myself, by my wife, by our family. Because here's the thing. My kids are great kids, but oftentimes their actions don't align with our expectation of them. Sometimes their actions don't align with God's expectation of them. And so sometimes they're acting a fool and we have to remind them who we are. And so we can look at them and just say, "Jude, who are you?" And he responds with, "I'm a mighty man of God." Okay, do mighty men of God do that? No. Okay, then maybe we should change our actions. Maybe we should make them align. We have to know who we are. When we know whose we are, we're more confident in who we are. And then being able to fight temptation becomes a whole lot easier. See, the reality is you're not just the worst thing you ever did. Or as Christine Kane said last week, your history does not need to determine your destiny. Our worst thing isn't who we are. Who God says we are is who we actually are. When we know who we are, fighting temptation becomes less about keeping ourselves from something and becomes more about saving ourselves for something. And that's the plan and the call and the purpose that God has for every single person in this room and watching online. God has a call on your life, and fighting temptation isn't about not doing that. It's about saving yourself for the call of God on your life. So how do I have a pure heart? How do I fight temptation? It starts with self-awareness, and I get it. A lot of us, including myself, we're not really great at this. And so I'm going to give you three things real quick that you can do to cultivate this idea of self-awareness. The first thing is create daily space to pray, listen, and write down what God actually says about you. Number two is invite people who you trust into your life to have the hard conversations. Give them permission to call out the hard things in your life and then confess your sin and your temptation to them. And his third thing is to create a list of positive affirmations to speak over yourself to renew your mind daily. And I get it. Some of you guys are already like, nope, that's too new agey. It's actually not. It's found in the Bible. It's found in Philippians 4:8. It says, fix your thoughts on what is true, what is honorable, what is right, what is pure, what is lovely, what is admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. I'm going to give you three real quick that you can do that I try to speak over myself every day. They're powerful. It's just a way to reset your mind. Jesus is first in my life. I exist to serve and glorify him. I am disciplined. Christ in me is stronger than my wrong desires in me. My words, thoughts, and imaginations are under the power of Christ, and I will take every thought captive. 2 Corinthians 10:5 is where that's found. I will take every thought captive and make them obedient to Christ. See, self-awareness is knowing who we are, building ourselves up in who God says we are, because we're not defined by what we've done, but by who God says we are. The second thing is that we need situational awareness. See, situational awareness is simply knowing what's happening around us, knowing our surroundings, knowing what's going on in our lives in the different areas, and being aware of what's happening. When I was younger, I used to work for a flooring company. And at this time, we were doing some homes in the Parade of Homes over in Pradera. This was about 15 years ago, I think, 10 years ago. And we were doing these houses. They were $2, $3 million homes. They were gorgeous. They were ridiculous. If you live in one, have me over, because they were awesome. But we were doing the tile in them. And at this time, I was loading up the truck from our warehouse to take this tile over to be installed. And the tile that I was loading up in the truck was like imported from Italy, hand-painted, like, don't break it, we can't replace it kind of type tile. And you can already tell where this story is going. And so the tile was stored in a pallet on the top shelf in the back of our warehouse. And so I went and I got the forklift. I'm a competent forklift driver. I'm super good at it. If you saw my forklift driving skills, you'd be impressed. And so that's how I felt about myself. And so I get the forklift, I lift the forks up, I go and I pick up that pallet and I start backing up and I look behind me and I got my arm kind of just looking and I'm just paying attention behind me, backing up, and all of a sudden the loudest crash that I had ever heard filled and echoed throughout the entire warehouse. And I turned around and I looked, and thousands of dollars worth of tile were in millions of pieces scattered across the floor. See, what I didn't realize was that the back edge of the pallet was actually caught on the front edge of the shelf, and as I was backing up, was being pulled off the forks. And I was so confident in my ability that I didn't think that I needed to do my check marks and do my checklist. I was just focused in one direction. See, oftentimes we get so comfortable in our own lives, we get so comfortable in what we've allowed in our own lives, that we miss the marks, we miss the checks, and we find out that we have surrounded ourselves with danger that we never even should have been involved in. Some students, maybe you found yourself at a party that you thought was just gonna be a good hangout with some friends, and it winds up that there's alcohol and drugs and sex there. And you find yourself and you start engaging a little bit, and you find yourself doing things you never thought you would do. Some of us, we find ourselves in an emotional affair with somebody at work that we never thought we would engage in, but because we haven't set up the boundaries, we haven't set up the check marks, we're not aware of we find ourselves somewhere we never thought we would be. We find out that we're living with regret because we've allowed ourselves to fall. See, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12 and 13, it says, so if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation is overtaking you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will provide a way out so that you can endure it. See, the truth is, though, that path of escape is often something that we don't want to do, that we're unwilling to take. In this moment, Joseph is running out of the house naked, and he knows that it's going to cost him greatly. See, most of the time, we're willing to do whatever it takes to get whatever we want, but we aren't willing to do whatever it takes to protect us from the things that we don't even need. We don't even need. Are we willing to protect what God has given us? Are we willing to protect our purity? Are we willing to protect our identity? Are we willing to protect who God has called us to be? Are we willing to protect our family and the ones that love us? Are we willing to protect them? Here's three quick things that I've personally done. Because I'll be the first to say that I have struggled with a lot of temptations. I have struggled with a lot of sin, but I've also been intentional about building things around my life. And so I'm going to give you three things that I've done that have helped. I'm not saying I'm sinless. I'm not saying I don't struggle with temptation. They still come at me, and these things just help identify them. They help protect me from them. Number one, identify the when, how, and where I am tempted. I've started to identify when, how, and where. I've started to name the things that tempt me, when I am weakest, when they scream the loudest, and how the enemy comes at me. I'm able to identify. If I can identify the danger, I can stay further away from it. The second thing is set up clear boundaries. I've set up clear boundaries in my life so that my life actually never gets close enough to the when, how, and the where. One of those, for example, is I will never be alone in a car with anyone other than my wife. Female. I won't. I've set up clear boundaries. And the last thing, and I'll say, I said it before, I'm gonna say it again because it's important, is confession and accountability. And this is probably the one that's hardest for us, because if I confess and if I get accountability, then it means I'm broken. And you're right. We are broken, and we need people who trust God, who know God, who want God's best for our lives, and we need to invite them into the process of our lives so that we can overcome temptation. Oftentimes, we can't do it alone. We can't do it alone, so invite people to surround you, to protect you. See, when it comes to temptation, we can succumb to it. We can stand against it. Where we can flee from it. And when we look at what Joseph did, he chose to flee. Verse 12, it says, so she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hands and fled and got up out the house. Run, Forrest. Like, he took a left-hand turn down that dirt road and he just went for it. He was willing to do whatever it took to protect his integrity, to protect his purity. See, there are times where we are called to stand and fight temptation face to face. But the Bible actually tells us to flee from sexual sin. And some of us guys, we'll sit on our phone as after our wives go to bed and we'll allow ourselves to be tempted. And we're not jumping into sin, but we might fall into it. Flee from sexual temptation. See, this idea of situational awareness is knowing what to do and when to do it. Joseph knew that giving in and sleeping with her would be a huge sin against God, and it would have a dramatic impact on the story that God was writing through his story. And sometimes we forget that in the present day today, God is writing something through your life. And I want to ask you, is it worth the risk of falling into temptation? Is it worth the risk for that momentary moment of pleasure? God is with Joseph. He provided a way out. God is with you, providing a way out. And just because it might cost you something doesn't mean that it's not worth fighting for. God's with you. God sees you. You are not alone. Let's pray. Jesus, we just come before you. And God, we thank you that you are a good God who gives good gifts to his children. God, I thank you that you see us, that you know us, that you hear us. And God, you are not surprised or shocked by the temptations that come our way or the sin that comes our way. God, you still love us. You still want a relationship with us. And so God, I pray for those of us who are in this room, those of us joining online, God, that you would give us discernment to identify our temptation, to stand against it. God, I pray that you'd give us strength and courage to fight against it. God, give us courage. Give us wisdom. And God, for those of us who are in this room, who have been fighting temptation alone, who don't know you, Jesus, as our Lord and Savior, God, I pray that you'd start tugging them. Holy Spirit, would you draw them into you? Maybe you're watching online, or maybe you're here in this room. Everybody's eyes are closed and heads are bowed. Maybe you've been fighting temptation by yourself and you're exhausted. And this Jesus person who died on the cross thousands of years ago, he shed his blood and he willingly gave up his life for the forgiveness of your sins. But then he raised to life again 3 days later so that you could have an eternal relationship with him. See, the awesome thing is that Jesus dying on the cross actually forgives us of our sin so that we can have a relationship with him. Maybe you're in the room or maybe you're watching online and you just want to receive Jesus as the free gift, as your Lord and Savior. That means he rules over your life and he saves you and protects you from your sin. Maybe you just want to give your life to him today. If that's you, if you're online, you can click the button. If you're in this room, I just want you to raise your hand. Just as a way of saying, Jesus, I need you. I need your hope. I need your peace. So Jesus, we come before you. And God, we thank you for your life. We thank you for the free gift of salvation. God, we thank you for forgiving us, even though we're broken and we sin every single day, time and time again. God, we thank you that you still love us, that we still are your sons and your daughters. Would you give us the power to encounter this week, to stand and flee and fight temptation like never before? We love you, Jesus. In your name, amen.